Grace is the savior of sinners. Christ is the savior for me. All man was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace, I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me, shedding his blood. My ransom, this is the savior for me. One is often said, and sometimes in these hymns that we sing, the gospel is presented so clearly. You can close the meeting almost right after we sing the hymn. And that would be the gospel. That's what it is in this hymn here. There's none other, only Christ can save you. No one else. Talk to people, maybe they might say, well, I go to church. Well, praise God, they do. Christ is the only Savior of sinners. So let's sing this hymn together then. Number 16, remain seated.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free.
Blessing as we open thy word together, counting on thee and the
walking on. And we give thanksgiving in thy precious name, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And turn, please, to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus said that ye must be born again. That's pretty clear, isn't it? John says, you do something and you must do it. You must do it. And it's that way, dear ones, with salvation. It can't be accomplished by anything of yourself. You must be born anew, again. You received a birth, a natural birth, growing up. God has given you life. He says there's something else. And it is to be born again. I hope I can make that clear tonight, what that really means, to be born again. Because it really is a wonderful work of God that he does to a soul who will turn and look to him, believe his word, and accept it as from the Lord himself, and put his trust in the Lord Jesus. Something happens inside. What he does. And it all summed up in the little word, Christ comes and dwells in your heart. And he doesn't, he'll do that to anyone who will ask. That's what's characteristic of this day in which we live right now, is that the Lord Jesus will forgive anyone. Turns and asks him for salvation. Anyway, so how sweet that is, how wonderful that is to tell out, because when a person knows Christ as Savior, then the end of their life and where they go after they die, it's all settled. So many times in speaking to souls, one has found that they tend to think that's settled after you leave this world. Some think that maybe their good deeds will be looked upon and the Lord would never deny that person eternal life because they've been such a good man. He's very kind to his neighbor, and he does all some pretty nice things. You mean to tell me that when my dad gets to heaven at the pearly gates, it's not going to open? You mean to tell me that? One had to say, I can only tell you what you're going to do. I can only speak what the Lord Jesus says. And the Lord Jesus says he must be born again. Something has to happen in your life when you're born anew, when you receive Christ. We want to look at that tonight. It doesn't take long. It was in the hymn even that we sang. But Christ is the Savior. Have to look to the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son. You know, the Lord Jesus was always with the Father way back before your mind could ever even comprehend all the years behind. He was there. Daily, the Father's delight, doing always those things that please his Father. God loves his Son. God loves his Son. Let's
read verse 16 in the same chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My, there's a depth in that. It doesn't say for God so loved the world that he gave or that he charged for his Son. If you come to the Lord Jesus, you have to pay money? No. Nothing like that at all. He gave his Son. God, it tells us in the Psalm, and he looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any who could understand and seek after God. What was it they said after that? All gone astray. They've all gone astray, departed from the ways of God. And in the enjoyment of sin, oh, what a sad, sad thing that is, to think that there can be an enjoyment in sin, and in some ways maybe there is, but to count on a life in only this world is the saddest, sad thing that you can do. You can hardly comprehend that people would do that. You see things getting better? No. No, we don't. It's only worse. It's only worse. And it's going to get even more worse. And thank God that the Lord Jesus is going to come pretty soon. And claim each one who knows him as Savior for himself and take them up to heaven. That's a promise that he has made. And he's never failed in one of his promises. Not one. So I trust that you'll see tonight that yourself before God in your sins, there's no way to heaven. There's no way. He must be born again. He must be born again. God, as it says there with the verse of 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. It's a gift from God. Eternal life is Christ in you, Christ taking you up to heaven when he comes. Spending an eternity there with him. That's eternal life. If they offer, you decide to say no. You decide to say, I'm going to put it off, and then something happens, and your life is cut short. And we could tell lots of stories where that has happened, where life has come one end unexpectedly. All the graves in the graveyard are not 6 feet long, so to speak. Even children, their life has come to an end. Through sickness, through an accident, through something like that. And children, you can be ready through faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, he says, the first thing there is believing in the Lord Jesus. Believing on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. In a past eternity, the Lord, I want to speak reverently. I know I kind of, I don't know what the word is, but I don't, maybe I use some. I want to speak reverently of the Lord. As it were, God and the Lord Jesus, when they're drawing up salvation's plan, the Lord Jesus says, I'll do it. There's only one way. He was willing to do it. I think each in the room here know what it cost them. To obey that ability. You don't. Because the only way that sins can be forgiven, says blood must be shed. Blood had to be shed. That was typified in the Old Testament times, and we all know the story, I think, of the children of Israel when they were enslaved in Egypt there, and it was a really rough life that they had there. Jesus wanted to bring them out of that. And so he sent these plagues, and the very last plague that came was that Passover lamb had to be slain. And the Lord Jesus pronounced that when I see the blood, there's a Passover you. And so it was that very night, it's recorded in the Word of God the destroying angel came down. And if there wasn't blood on the door, you know what happened? There was a life lost. It went exactly as God had said. The firstborn would perish if there wasn't blood on the door. Well, the Israelites, most of them, I believe, they did it. But a lot didn't. In the Egyptians, they didn't do it. I think it says there wasn't a house where there wasn't one dead. That makes me want to say, do you believe it? Do you believe God's word? When we read something like that, and it's so clear, and then we put it forward to today, where the Lord Jesus has come, and he's died on the cross, and he shed his precious blood for you, and he says, whosoever will may come. And it's only through his blood that your sins can be forgiven. And you say, no. I don't think I want that. Oh, I trust that not one soul will do that tonight. Even little children can see that need. To be, to take Christ as your Savior and believe that what the Lord Jesus has said about sin, all have sinned. I heard preachers preach on that little word, all. And you know what it means? Every single word. All. Well, you'll come to the Lord Jesus. Like it says here in this verse, we pray, whosoever believeth in him, in true repentance. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. All right. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. I'll read the whole verse. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Jew and Gentile. Two things for salvation. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's your part. God has said all have sinned. And God wants you to come then and acknowledge that before the Lord Jesus. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner. And then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead after he went to the cross of Calvary. God raised the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, 50 days after he was raised from the dead, God took him up to heaven. He's at the right hand of God right now. It says there in the book of Acts, it says there that in like manner he's going to come again. We're going to actually see the Lord Jesus, the real man in the glory. We're going to actually see him, those who know him as their Savior. And he's promised to come and take us there. Well, like we can see in this verse, it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, taking your place as a lost, guilty sinner. And so, Lord, I believe that the reason you went there to Calvary's cross was for me. For me. I'll tell you a little story. Back home, just down the street from where our meeting room is, there was an old couple that lived there. Their name was Mr. and Mrs. Byron. They were quite elderly. Couldn't drive anymore, and he lived in the middle of town like that. But he did walk down to get his groceries. And this one day, we were cutting some grass or something like that around the meeting room. He walked by, and he was a very happy man and easy to talk to. He said hello, and he talked a little bit about it, and he looked at the verse on the gospel hall, and so I started to talk to him a little bit, and he was that type of a man. He would try to carry on the conversation and enter into what was being said. It was a joy to speak to him. And so I invited him to come. Would you like to come to the gospel? We even have a supper on that night, and if you like, you can come to that too. Well, I forgot. I think, yes, they did come. They came, and they heard a gospel meeting, and they came to the supper. They said they enjoyed it, but that was all. That was all that was said. Well, the Lord helped me go, and I went a couple of times. I went to his house to visit him. And we had some nice visits, and I would try to make it. I would try to take my Bible along, and I said, would you like me to read you something from the Bible? And he said, yes. Yeah, I would. And it was a real joy then to open the Word of God, and we read different portions like that. Well, he thought that went on in a bit of time. And I think it was on a Saturday morning. Went up there and knocked on the door, and he invited me in. He was white. They were sitting there, and she was making breakfast. And so I sat down with them and once more tried again to very clearly go over his need for the Lord Jesus. He was getting elderly. He listened attentively. You know, I even said, Mr. Byway, would you like to be saved? Would you like to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He said, yeah, I would. I said, do you want to bow your head right here at the table? Can we just bow our head and say a little prayer? He said, yeah. So we did. That man got saved. You could see it in him. Later, he was happy and rejoicing. He accepted Christ right there at the kitchen table. It was a joy. Now, sad to say, I did the same for his wife that was there, and she's gone too. I never did hear a confession from him. Isn't that sad? Be so close like that, so close, and then not do it. She kind of didn't like, you know, in a certain way what I said to her. When I mentioned about sin, she was, I'm not a sinner. I don't think I've ever sinned. So I said, Mrs. Byway, please, it's God's word, it's not mine. All sin. All sin. Well, she left this world. I don't know if she ever did bow her head and accept the Lord as her Savior, but I'm pretty sure that her dear husband is home with the Lord Jesus there in glory. My, it's a joy. Dear ones, you can have that child. You can have that tonight if you turn to acknowledge that you have sinned and ask Christ to forgive those sins. He's never turned one away. Never. That's what, like I said at the start, is so characteristic of this
time in which we live now. And he's offering salvation, full and free, to the whole wide world, to anyone who will come and ask forgiveness. Someday the door is going to close. You know, the meeting's only supposed to be a half an hour. We're just about there. Someday the door is going to be closed. What a sad thing that will be. When people actually come, as it were, and knock on the door and say, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." And you'll have to hear those awful words, "Depart from me, for I never knew." Oh, dear one, won't you do that tonight? Bow your head and acknowledge your sin. Then ask for forgiveness. There isn't any forgiveness without the shedding of the blood of Christ. And he's done it. It's past and it's over, and but it's offered to you in faith. You know what that means. You can believe and really down deep in your heart that the reason that the Lord Jesus died on the cross was for your sins. Your sins. Make it personal. He loves you. He does want you in heaven. But it's really sad when something else comes in the way. Sometimes it, whatever it might be, sports, or you might get occupied in something like that, or whatever it might be. I'll tell you one more little story. I lived during one of the worst hurricanes that ever hit the city of Toronto, called Hurricane Hazel. And it came very, very suddenly. I can remember that night extremely well. Suddenly, about a 10-inch rainfall in a very, very short time, less than an hour almost. It just came down. Well, the rivers just rose up and the water rushed down and it just swept out. Houses even, let alone cars and trailers. Houses went down the river. Well, as it was happening, people, like you know, they rallied around, and one man had a boat. He got a boat and a motor, and he went out in the river, and he went out to the houses where they were. The water would be like, if this was the house, the water was way up to here on the first floor. But he ran upstairs, and he was upstairs, sitting on the windowsill upstairs, and hoping that this boat come by and pick them up. And sure enough, the boat came over that way, and they said to the man, they said, get in, quick, the water's really rising fast here. Well, you know what that man said? Just a minute. Hold on, just a minute. They pled with him, said, no, don't you, wait one more minute, get in right now, here's the boat. He turned and went back into his house. And they waited. They tried to wait. But it's hard to comprehend that the water can really rise that quickly. Do you actually see it? Well, they waited a few minutes, but they said, no, we've got to go. We've got to go. Lord, people were right there and offering that man that he could be rescued. They had to push off. Well, they made it safe back. And then the next day, the waters subsided. And some of the ones that were in that boat, they said, what in the world was it that that man wanted that he didn't get in the boat? How come he turned around and went back in that house? So they went to the house, and sure enough, there he was. He's gone. He did, right in the house. And so they wanted to realize, they wanted to find out what it was that kept him from getting in that boat. And they saw that his hand was like this, clenched like that. He was hanging on to something. They opened it up. What do you think they found? $20 bill. $20 bill. $20. Isn't that sad? Don't do that to my children. It might disease many dear children, young people. Be sure of your salvation. Christ loves you. He wants to take you home to glory. Get the question settled right now. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Satan is too clever to lure you aside and say, oh, just forget about it tonight. Do it. Do it another time. Oh, may you see your need of Christ tonight. And him that is saying, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Close in tonight, dear one. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Lord Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him. No wise he will cast him. Don't say no. Settle it tonight and be the happiest decision that you ever made in your whole life. God, you're that wonderful knowledge. Sins are forgiven. Heaven is your home and your assured hope. Lord, a few minutes past 7:30. Stop there. But that's the gospel. That's the gospel. The Lord is not willing that one should perish. He wants to save. Be sure your name is written in heaven. You know, I didn't mention this, but at the end of Revelation it says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast ever into the darkness. Is your name there? Are you sure? Are you sure your name is there? The Lord Jesus doesn't make a mistake. If you come to him and ask him for repentance, he's written it down. But if you've never done it, and you leave this world, and you have to stand there in that day of judgment before him, and I've often said, you can just see the Lord Jesus, and the book is open, if I can put it real clear like that, his finger goes down the page, and he looks for your name. It's not there. Be sure your name is written in that. Happiest thing, decision that you've ever done. Let's bow and thank you. Blessed God, loving Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming down to this world, going to Calvary's awful cross, there, suffer, bleed, and die for our sins, and pay that punishment that was so rightly ours. Lord Jesus, thou didst go into death and shed thy precious blood, let sinners like us and be saved from our sins. We thank thee tonight for such wonderful news. We pray that if there is one here, they'd see their need tonight and turn to the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the time we've had in the comments. Thank thee, our God and Father, for thy love to us. Give thee our thanks. We ask thy blessing, Lord Jesus, in thy most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.